life that I think, and it'll be interesting to have Barry talk about this too, because, you know, passion, we relegate it to just one small area, you know, sex. And it's like passion is for life in total.
You're right. And we go right to that first thing. Yeah, you're right, Lisa.
And it's just too small a container for passion.
It's a wonderful container, but it's not the only container.
Exactly. You know? I love that. And just as we're talking about passion, we've got Mr. Passion Guy on the line. He just came on. Let me introduce Barry before I bring him on.
Please.
So Barry Selby, as I said, is the passion consultant. I want to be one of those. He specializes in empowering his clients to create conscious, passionate, deep relationships. And one of the ways he does it is through his site called romanceblueprint.com, which he'll tell us all about. He's got three practices to up-level our dating life and revitalize our relationship attractiveness and prepare us for that relationship that we really, really want. So, and he also has his website, matchmagnetics.com. So here we go. I'm trying not to say without further ado, and oops, I said it. Hi, Barry.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hello,
how are
Barry.
You? Welcome to our show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
It's so good to have you with us.
We're dying to know, what is a passion consultant?
And how do you practice?
Yeah, exactly. Tell us everything.
Well, the thing was, originally the whole plan was to be a relationship coach, but that seemed so flatlining to me. Passion consultant for me is simply the fact that passion is part of life. And one part of my work is about helping people in relationship, but the piece that comes underneath that as well is about living fully in our calling, our gifts, and our purpose in life. And that's where passion comes in as well. Because how we live our life is not so much just in romance, not just in sex. It's about, you can live passionately every day, whether you're passionate about your kids, passionate about changing the world, or passionate about how you take a breath, even. It's everything.
I like that.
How did you get into this, Barry? How did you get into being a passion consultant?
Well, it wasn't so much I walked into it as much as it evolved into it from the journey. I've been a student of life and of study of human behavior for years, and one area that I was always aware of was about relationships, because I've been in quite a few and had a lot of dysfunction to learn what didn't work. Mm-hmm. So there was a drive to know more about myself and about how I lived in life. And in particular, the last 4 years or so, I've been studying with some pretty powerful teachers in the area of relationship, masculine, feminine paradigm, and I start seeing how it shows up in so many areas of life itself. So being about relationship was part of it, but really it's about life itself. And a life coach, I'm sorry, is just too generic a title as well.
Right.
There are many people who are life coaches, and that could be, okay, let me help you get your job on track or get your business moving. And my focus is about, how do you get the passion in your life working so you're really connected to who you are?
And if I'm not mistaken, you've lived life with a certain amount of passion and trust, which I think trust is an inherent part of any passion, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, because passion is not about, okay, I'm going to make something happen by being angry or something like that. It's about being passionate with a base of being, it's being undergirded by that trust of something bigger going on. So yes, trust is definitely key in this.
Because I just have such admiration for the fact that, first of all, you don't have an American accent. You have a lovely accent. Would you like to tell people where you started?
I'm English, but I've been here almost 30 years now.
It's so great that you kept your accent.
It wasn't something I tried to do. I had friends of mine who came over who lost their accent in 2 years flat, and I have a friend of mine, she's got to be in her 70s now. She's been in America 47 years, and her accent's thicker than mine is.
Oh, really?
Go ahead. Go ahead. No. It is interesting why.
I was just going to say it's interesting how some Brits, I have a lot of British friends who live here, and some have stronger accents than others. Even if they've been here the same amount of time, especially since you've been here 30 years, you know, some lose their accent after 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
But you've bounced around. This is not the, you've been on the European continent and the North American continent. Did I understand it wrong? I thought you had traversed a few more continents.
No, I lived in Germany and Belgium for a couple of years when I left college and was working. I got placed there, but every time I came back to England, I felt like I wasn't belonging there anymore. It wasn't my home because it's just, I felt like I'd grown out of the space. Mm-hmm. And the vision I had back then, it's going back in now in the early 80s, was that I wanted to live somewhere where they spoke English, first of all, because I was really not that good at language, to be truly honest. And the only thing on my list I could think of was America. And I had a track to myself, a job in 2 weeks flat in L.A., and came out here, and it's been ever since.
And now you're the passion consultant. It led you, all this led up to passion. Passion got you here, right?
Well, passion for me is an interesting word. Some people, I know some of my teachings were talking about passion wasn't the right word because they tie it to more of a negative experience. But for me, passion is about the juice that we have for life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, enthusiasm is part of it, but it's more than enthusiasm because passion could be an almost like a humming vibration underneath everything that gives us the movement to move forward in life, that keeps our breath going and our heartbeat strong, because passion is this, it's the juice that makes life more fun. Because some people walk along like they're walking dead because they've closed off everything in their lives because they're dysfunctioning, they're not living life in a present moment experience.
And is that, I was just going to ask you, so what makes us passionate? I mean, some of us are more passionate, or at least outwardly more passionate than others.
Mm-hmm.
What is that about? Is it something that we learn? I know my mom is extremely passionate, so maybe I learned it from her. And maybe that's why I am the way I am. But what is your take on that?
Well, one thing that's just, my brother lives in Italy, his wife and family from there, and they're very expressive, passionate people too. But their passion is in their emotion and their expression. There's not necessarily passion about life itself.
Okay.
And it's just that dance of passion because, you know, to be honest, English people, generally speaking, aren't that overtly passionate on their emotional level. We're more reserved.
Mm-hmm.
But the passion's inside, and it's that, there's that innate desire to share our hearts, to share our gifts, to be in place of really being impactful in the world in a positive way. That's the way I frame it, anyway.
Mm-hmm. So passion looks different. It looks different on different people, then. It's just because somebody's more close to the vest doesn't mean they're not passionate.
Right, because passion is not about, okay, you have to say certain things and be a certain way, because passion is a very, very diverse and wide range of expressions. So, yes, it has a unique way for each person.
And
well,
so, Barry, how do you... Sorry, Lisa, go ahead.
But that's okay. I was going to say, I just was going to mention that everybody has a passion meter on their hand, and it's the base of the fleshy base of their thumb, where the thumb joins the wrist. And
mm-hmm.
the fleshier it is, the more external, you know, show of passion you tend to get, and the more they tend to be, you know, the body is easily stimulated, and that isn't just for sex. That's, you know, they love good food, or they, you know, they've got an outward expression of it. But what you just said, as far as the British, you know, are a little more reserved. Just because somebody doesn't have a flat, or does have a flat base to that thumb instead of a big fleshy one, that's just where the passion begins in the mind. It begins in a different place. So we all can have different doorways into the same place. The important thing is, how do people get there? What are some of the things that you would maybe recommend or suggest? You know,
and I know you have your Rome, and that was perfect, Lisa. Great, another great segue, Lisa. You have, I'm looking at your site right now, Barry, romanceblueprint.com.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is pretty much the how, right? Your blueprint to help people become more passionate.
Well, actually, this site is called the Romance Blueprint, not the Passion Blueprint. The focus is about...
Oh, sorry,
how,
Romance.
Okay. But the thing is, the focus in that program, which I just launched, and I'm going to do one later on for others, is this one's for single women. I'm going to create one for single men as well, because the truth is, it's... These pieces will definitely help engage the passion, but it's focused towards relationship. It's focused towards romance. So that site has a certain direction to it. Yet the same thing is true, that passion can be evoked through the focus, because in that program, there's quite a bit of healing of the past relationship issues. And for a lot of us, we find it passion because we almost have to look at our childhood and a younger age to see where our passion was started, and it may have gotten stifled or closed off because something happened, because of something at school or parents or peers or something else, where we shut it down. And some part of that's almost to revoke the juice from that younger age.
Great. So
because
we all
start out with passion. I mean, we all start out with, in fact, somebody pointed out last night, Deborah Kagan, she also works in this space. I think you know her, right,
mm-hmm.
Mary?
Oh, yeah, Deborah, yes. My friend. I love her. She's a sweetheart.
Exactly. And she was pointing out that life itself, it's like the hummingbird for the flower, you know, the sun, you know, the effect on the soil as things grow. I mean, there's a passionate, you know, life energy, if you will, that is going on all around us all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then that spills over, right?
Well, because it's part of natural life itself, yes. I mean, truth is, so, you know, the civilization, I mean, I don't want to talk philosophically, but there's a certain way when we're in business and in the great city, my passion seems to be somewhat suppressed because we're just being regimented and doing things. And sometimes going out in nature or going out saying it by the trees or going out for a walk in the park can open up the passion too, because we realize there's more to life than just that 9-to-5 routine.
Mm-hmm. And it's all about, you were talking about the messages that we got that put blocks between us and that inherent passionate nature in us, right?
I believe we're born passionate. Yes, I mean, passion's innately in who we are. It's the joy. It's the joy of life. That the joy to eat, the juice in who we are that comes forward. And mm-hmm. we don't always have a clear channel to keep expressing it. Some people have that gift where their parents see them that way and see them all the way through, and it's easy. But for most people, generally speaking, we don't have that through school life. It's not really supporting us in that way.
So, Barry, do you work mainly with single women in your romance blueprint site through the romance blueprint process, or do you work with all the other kinds of passions? What is sort of, what's more of your focus?
My focus.
What's
right
your sweet spot?
What's your passion? What's your passion focus?
My passion focus right now is in my work, is really helping others have healthy relationships. And
okay.
I've been guided through my coaches to move towards a more of a singular focus. So choosing single women as my initial starting point in this arena, because this program can be adapted and will be workable down the road for men as well as for couples, because there's pieces in it that are transcendent of different situations.
And tell us about your the process, and you have three practices that you use. Maybe you can describe some of your techniques and give us a sense of it.
Well, the main thing, and this came through about 6 months ago, I really got clear, having done all the work I've done, that there's three aspects in people's lives that really can be I'm not saying they're broken, but there are three different pieces that really make people's lives work better in a relationship. And it's true in life in general.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, it's going to sound silly, but it's the past, the present, and the future. I mean, it's all three aspects. Because in romantic life, we tend to bring baggage from the past into the present moment.
Yeah.
And I've got these sort of catchphrases I use. So basically, that it's like we tend to find ourselves repeating experiences in relationships, even if a different person is a cost from us. But we repeat certain patterns again and again. That's kind of serial relationships.
Uh-huh,
we've just
yeah.
been hinting again a different face. At the same time, we also, for quite a few people, I'm talking inclusively because I've done it myself, but I know a lot of women have, and men do too sometimes, who will basically move into the dating arena without having a clear direction where they're going. They're backing into it, just whatever's next. And the phrase that came through, which is kind of a cute one, I guess, is too much in a letter romance, is that we don't have a clear picture to say, I want this, and I'll make what's left, because we just
right.
see what's next. It could be a random right. thing on a dating site, or it could be
yeah, I was
a blind
just
going to
say,
things.
That reminds me of a dating site, which I won't mention, but it's, I don't know, Barry, what is your take on that in terms of consulting people? I mean, because that's such the norm now to meet people, and I have such resistance around it.
Well, for me, the challenge is that any dating site is electronic, obviously. I mean, it sounds so simple when I just said that, but the truth is that it doesn't show you who the person really is, who they
yeah.
are, how they feel. And frankly, most people who go into a relationship don't know what their issues are, so they won't be able to tell you anyway. So the only way to do is to actually meet people, and having a place to meet somebody physically
yes,
in a way
exactly.
is healthier. Because most women who are who've done any work have a sense of intuition where they can pick up things very quickly, and they will right. sense things in the man they meet even more easily than he'll tell them. Because they're filling into that very quickly. So that's not so easy to pick up online. So I'm not a big fan of the online dating sites because they're snapshots. And something
and
I've learned
just,
from
it. And what seems weird to me, Barry, is that there's such an agenda, essentially. I mean, really, to put it bluntly, I mean, you're looking at, for the most part, okay, is this somebody I want to become lovers with? Do I want to sleep with this person? I mean, that's kind of, it's out there. So you don't have, there's not room for a friendship. And that's the part that I find awkward. I find it awkward and uncomfortable.
There's this instantaneous desire in this society for an instant fix. And most of these dating sites are focused on that arena. And the truth is that the courtship disappears. And the courtship was you know, that's an olden thing, as it were. But that sense of getting to know somebody, to know who they are, not just by how they look or by what their bank account says, something's been becoming more and more missing. And frankly, that's where all the passion is. Because, like, okay, data points, this is this and this, great, let's get together, versus who are you? What makes you happy? What are you about?
So we're going to play devil's advocate here, you guys, just for a minute, for the online daters out there. Just let me throw this in here. The thing is, you're absolutely right in the fact that it's an electronic connection rather than a heartbeat. It's not the experience. And what's interesting about it is because it's a blank slate for so many, you know, reasons, you bring all of your projections with. You bring all of your imagination with. You bring, you know, a story with, the past, present, and future, as you mentioned, Barry. But that in itself, even if that isn't an ideal tool, what a wealth of information if you sit down and look at what you've done online and what is the consistent story you're bringing to those dates.
Right,
you know, what you
point.
Can learn more about yourself from anything that you've done. So for those who've been out there doing online dating, can't they at least mine that for information about what their patterns are? Because it says far more about them than it does about the other person, since you really don't know the other person.
That
right?
is such a great point. I think that's an excellent point. It's like what do we say in our profile, and what we can learn from learn about ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing about this it comes down to, and it's a key piece, is a lot of people out in the relationship arena are unconscious of the fact that the relationship is a chance to learn about themselves. So until they're first aware of that option, to do reflection and mind map and look at what they can do, learn about themselves in the dating arena online, it won't resonate for them, because they're just going to say, oh, it's not me, it's them. So who's the next one? So it's finding those who choose the conscious path, who choose to say, you know what, I want a different relationship now, I want a different choice now. They're the ones that can do that, yes. And it's something they can definitely refine in their... not necessarily their own profile, but certainly in the selection process. They can seek out somebody who's opposite sex, or if that's their preference, to see things that they didn't notice before, where they realize, oh, I didn't see that before, now I can catch that this time. It's a learning process.
Mm-hmm. So part of what, you know, you're advocating is a real exploration of themselves in order to tap into any passion before they are looking at what's going on in a relationship, that you've got to start with a certain amount of self-discovery.
Well,
yeah,
because the thing is, in healthy part of a relationship, relationships are, for me, are very clear. In passionate relationships, a passionate relationship is 100%, 100%, as in 100% of each person in the relationship is giving from the overflow. The old paradigm was kind of like a relationship for 50-50, and I'm looking for my other half. And that's incomplete, which is why there's a lot of passion missing. So true passion is when you give from your overflow and your abundance of who you are, so you've got to be full of yourself to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm sort of jumping around here, but Barry, what are the what's some advice that you would have for single women? I mean, I know one of the things is to go to you, but prior to that,
of course, yeah.
What can they do right now? What are just some general things that we can do to create more passion and make our way towards that dream relationship?
Well, first of all, is just get it clear through your heart, through your mind, that the other person will not complete you. As romantic as that sounds, it's not true.
Yeah, and they read back. I think it was on Oprah. I think it was Jenny McCarthy saying that it's the worst thing that could have happened in Jerry Maguire, that line saying, "You complete me." It's such
right.
a misnomer.
Exactly. It's an inaccurate statement. I mean, literally and figuratively, but also feeling tone, because a lot of us, I mean, men as well as women, but women are known for this, is the romance inside, the desire for that romance. And certain phrases sound so romantic, but they're codependent. And true healthy relationships are interdependent, not codependent. There's a big difference.
Interdependent.
So we have things that Well, because the thing is, in our partner, there are certain things they can do we can't. And certainly in the romantic and sex level, there are things you want from your partner that you can't give yourself the way they can.
Right.
At the same time, you don't need them to survive that. You know, you can survive, you can be fully autonomous and have your life functioning, and the other person comes in and adds to that. And having that mindset alone will shift a lot of things that you look for in a partner, because you're probably looking for that person to fix all the broken things in you. That's
right.
Not their job.
Or the rescue, Cinderella complex, you know,
right.
Where they've got somebody riding in and rescuing them,
right.
Or, you know, the man's, you know, imagination that, you know, she'll totally support him, and, you know, yeah, so we all walk around with our myths and our archetypes and
right.
Our stories about what a relationship is. It's
mm-hmm.
just interesting. Speaking of which, where did you get your story from?
My
where
story? How do you mean?
Yeah. Didn't you, I was going to say, I thought I heard you mention that your parents had been your role model?
Well, yes. I mean, my parents are still together. And I mean, they're in the 80s now. And they've been together 58 years, I think it is, this year.
Wow.
Maybe 59 coming up.
And happily,
and that was,
I
that
imagine.
Was say again?
I said happily, I imagine.
Yeah,
they're
I
happily
mean,
together. They're a good couple.
Just recently, my father had to go in for some surgeries. Actually, it was benign, thankfully, but some cancer treatment. And he was more worried about how my mom was going to survive being without him for a few days, because they've been apart maybe 4 days over that many years.
Oh wow! So they must be best. They're best friends. They love each. They
yeah.
like each other a lot.
Absolutely. I mean, as much as I hear them talk and complain about each other jokingly, it's that sort of rubbing together in that sort of friction of joy. They love each other, absolutely. And that was a model, and I didn't realize until later in life that growing up with that, I saw that as I had to find the right one and be perfect from day one, because that's what I thought they were. And it was misaccurate, it was inaccurate. So I had this dream of what I should have and blew it completely every time I tried it.
And that's so interesting, because I come from a family with a lot of divorce. Parents, you know, and crazy things like that, and
mm-hmm.
I have the same track record as you, and you come from a solid marriage, so I wonder what that's about. Then you would think that you would have had an easier
exactly.
time with it.
And the truth is, not the case. You know, I mean, my brother is now happily married, second time. The first time didn't work out so well, but the second time now, you know, he's a daughter, and his marriage is very healthy and strong, because he matured beyond that. And I'm realizing clearly that our parents don't dictate how relationships will be. It's what we choose to interpret as our
yes.
vision through which we see them, through which
yes.
we see life.
Right.
And that's always the
yeah.
good thing.
Because my sister is very happily married, first time, and been married 20 years, and they're best friends. They have a great marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. You're right, how we interpret it.
Exactly.
So in other words, the stories are fluid. We can change and reinterpret and reassemble. If you did it with your parents' story, you can also reinterpret and reassemble. That's part of the work that you do, as far as helping people reassemble the story in a way that's actually going to get them closer to what they want.
Exactly. Yes, indeed.
So,
and
because
you know, I had
we
a
do.
Thought,
we live in stories.
I had a thought, Barry, that maybe in terms of advice for single women, is maybe what we need to do is find and really develop and hone the passion in the other parts of our lives. Maybe that's a great path to get us to that relationship that we want.
Oh, absolutely. If you or a woman out there has this wait and see or waiting and hoping for experience,
right.
and the passion thinks stifled, you're not doing something, then get out and do something, whether it's going out and serving with the homeless, or it's going out playing with kids and helping out the school programs, or being a big sister. Whatever that is, that thing that moves you to be passionate, joyful in life, will become attractive to attract your mate as well.
Yes.
So it's good to show your four colors, because, frankly, for men out there, the more women are being themselves and showing their four colors in their glory, in their joy, and in their passion, that's extremely attractive.
I think that is so important. I think that we lose sight of that. So often we think we have to be so perfect in all the external ways, and we lose sight of the importance of being who we really are, and that's the big caveat, because how maybe we don't know who we are, maybe we don't want to show it for some reason, and we haven't shown it for a long time or ever, and we don't know how to get started in showing that more authentic self. And maybe it is about living in the moment, like you said earlier.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to say living in the moment than it is to actually do it, though.
Right.
And I think
right.
that, you know, as far as
there's so many different, again, doorways or pathways into something. And that's what I love about any kind of coach, is they're working with you as an individual. Because
yeah.
I'm not a big fan of a cookie cutter, stamp this down over me and this will work. Do this, this, and this, and you'll get this.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that, just like you said, your parents have been happily married for, you know, 58, 59 years, and you've worked on your relationship issues. You know, you've had a certain circumstance that's the opposite of that, Tracy, and you work on your relationship issues. I've got yet another story. My parents are not so happily married, but 50-some years. And it's like, okay.
Uh-oh, you just put that out there, Lisa. They're going to find out you said that. Uh-oh.
They'll both admit to it. They'll both freely admit to it.
Okay.
You know,
that's a start then. So, well, then yeah. Maybe they're just happily, unhappily together then. Maybe that's what it is.
Who knows? You know, but the bottom line is, it's all about, you know, rather than thinking that we're doing something wrong, it's like, okay, not only is it not that we're doing something wrong, but that the very obstacles in your path between you and what you want right now are actually going to give you that curved headline, heartline, whatever. It's going to give you a richer path on your way to finding what you want, that nothing is lost, that you are not wasting one moment single, you are not wasting one moment, you know, getting divorced, you are not wasting one moment of life unless you think that moment is wasted.
Right.
So that's passionate.
And one piece on that too is that if that is in fact a feeling you have, you're going to waste it. The only way you're going to waste it is if you don't learn from it. And that's the piece, is that everything's an opportunity to grow and become more yourself.
Mm-hmm. And to engage in life. That yes. breath in, that breath out. Even a mistake is life.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, Barry, I was thinking about in terms of passion is humor. Because humor to
yes.
me, where does that fit into your consulting? Because I mean, you can't make yourself have a better sense of humor. Maybe you can develop what you have. But I think laughter is, it's just so important.
Yes, absolutely. It's part of the joy of celebrating who we are. You know, I mean, there's so much about this life that seems to be fraught with challenge and upset and distress. At the same time, some of its life is so ludicrously silly that why would we get serious about all of it?
Exactly. We better start laughing. Exactly.
Indeed.
And I have to say, Barry, the Brits are so funny. I mean, I have a whole group of British friends that I spend time with, and I'm so entertained. And it's very different humor than, it's very subtle humor. And it's, well, except for, well, Martin's more out there humor. But it's just a delight to spend time with all of them. They just, even when I just think about them, I laugh. So I don't know what it is about the Brits and why you guys are blessed with such a great sense of humor.
I'm not complaining. I don't know the answer to that.
Maybe because you're nonplussed, you know, one of my favorite words. It's just that sort of shrug your shoulders, you know, kind of way of being.
Yeah.
Well, I personally like Fawlty Towers. That was always one of my favorites, a British comedy. I don't know. There's probably three people that on this call that will even know what it is. But oh, good old British humor. Well, and I think that anytime you have an opportunity, it's not about having a great sense of humor. It's about just having the ability to laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you don't have to be a wit. To be,
exactly.
You know, to let yourself laugh, and that's just an expression, again, that's that passionate life, you know, just to let yourself go. It's like something, although more often than not, I was talking to somebody who was horrified because she had to go to a funeral recently, and she found herself laughing at the funeral. It's like, that's brain chemistry. That's not that you find the death funny, you know?
That reminds me of the Mary Tyler Moore, the famous episode where she's at the funeral of Chuckles the Clown, and she, you know, she couldn't feel anything, and she gets to the funeral, and she's crying, and then, no, she starts laughing, and she can't stop laughing. I guess every time, you know, the whole idea of Chuckles the Clown, but she keeps laughing, and then, as she's laughing, and she's so embarrassed, and the more she holds it in, the more she has to laugh, she starts sobbing in the end. She just breaks down, so she needed to get, you know, she needed to just get to that point of just allowing herself. And there's another thing about passion. I just have been going through major grief, losing my brother in September, and I'm learning a lot about myself through the grieving process and allowing myself to cry and sob and not pretend like it's okay. And if there's something, it's just, there's something so healing about just doing that.
Well, I want to say one thing, that one word that comes up when you're saying that I really get clearly is the big piece about having passion in life is to be authentic.
Yes. Yes.
And authentic is just giving yourself permission to feel or be or do whatever you are feeling, doing, being.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that, Barry, I think that is so well put. I really do think that when you shake it all down, I always imagine a flower sifter, the hand kind, you know, where you sift it down to that one last, there's like a little white rock that's still sitting in there. It is about being authentic.
Yeah.
That's the foundation, right?
Absolutely. It's the core we start from, who we really are, and then everything blooms from there.
But I think the reason so many people are struggling with authenticity is because of the judgments they have around, again, what they're thinking and feeling, and it's just a way of being. You know, because I don't think anyone starts out. Go ahead, what were you saying?
Well, saying back to what you said at the beginning about trust. I mean, the thing is, they don't trust their authenticity to be enough, or to be right, or to be perfect, because they've been judged by themselves or somebody else that they've used as more important than who they really are.
Right.
Yes.
And for that reason, you know, it's undoing that mental conditioning, which
right.
our minds, now we know, are incredibly plastic. Well into our 70s and 80s, we can retrain our mind. It takes roughly 21 days to carve out a new neural pathway in our brain. So,
right.
you know, and the more thought you give it, the more focus you give it, the more energy you put behind it, the faster and deeper and stronger that it's no different than sending water down a channel. The more water you send down the channel, the deeper the channel gets.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about, you know, you can replace that inauthentic message with an authentic one with just a little bit of mental discipline and the right coach, of course.
Indeed.
I just would love to be a passion consultant. So if you need any others, I would love to do that. I just think that's fascinating.
She's got a natural affinity for it. She has a passion for life that I've rarely seen.
But I've seen a lot of people.
Well, let me do things clear. The passion consultant is like, I just happened to find that was a working title for me. I don't have it branded or copyrighted where nobody else can have it, because the truth is that'll be wrong for one thing, but two. And it might be a passion consultant as long as you're passionate yourself. It's not about being, okay, I'll fix other people. Let it come from where
right.
I know what works for me, and then I give my gifts accordingly. The same
yeah.
thing in relationships, same thing in coaching.
But it just, that, I mean, how lovely, how fabulous to be in a field where you're helping people become more passionate. I mean, that's just, to me, the ultimate. Would just be the ultimate. I'm getting passionate about your career. I love it. And maybe you do need to brand yourself, speaking of branding, because I do personal branding. Because, you know, maybe you need to be the go-to person as the passion consultant, even though other people can do it. But you maybe it'd be great for
you're
the you to
go-to.
Be that go-to
besides,
person.
You've got the best voice for it, Barry. I'm
exactly.
telling you.
Well, thank
I mean,
you.
Accent and that, you know, sexy sotto voce, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think you're on your way. Well, we're actually running out of time. So, Barry, tell us more about what's next and anything you want to plug and any events
how
that
they
are coming
find,
up.
Yeah, how do they find you? Where's
and how
the
do
best
they find,
way to find you?
Well, as you said at the beginning of the show, there's two sites that I have right now that are available in terms of being accessed. One is the Romance Blueprint, which is the focus for women who are looking for a healthy relationship who are currently single. It's the primary focus. I have another site which I'm in the process of evolving, is still up, which is matchmagnetics.com.
Mm-hmm.
And matchmagnetics.com, one is a mailing list. You can get on board so I can then connect with you and send you more information. So that's a good way of staying in touch.
Mm-hmm.
That also has a little video clip I put up there, which I found was very appropriate for the way people used to think of relationships and dating and sex and such. But the Romance Blueprint is actually a standalone program, and it's designed intentionally, as we mentioned earlier, about the past, the present, and the future. And it's a home study course set up to be very supportive of somebody who wants to have that transformation in their relationship history.
And that's romanceblueprint.com. You can find that, all that on that site. Well, this has been great. Are you going to do any events, any passion speed dating or anything like that?
Well, passion speed dating doesn't connect for me.
Yeah, that's what I would.
But passionate conversation, yes. And passionate dialogue, yes. So that's something I've been looking at as things unfold, as the year starts up. I'm looking at having some more gatherings. I'm actually going to be at a very powerful event on Saturday. A friend of mine is hosting. But in terms of my own events, I don't have anything on the calendar just yet. But, of course, if the demand rises and people want that, then absolutely we'll create that.
Well, Barry, it's been so fascinating. We could go on and on. I'm now inspired to just be more passionate.
Be more passionate? You already are passionate, darling. So, Barry, for you to add to that is truly a feat. So,
but it's always a work in progress. We're always a work in progress, right? There's always room for growth.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Lisa, you're pretty passionate yourself, gal.
Yes, just because you've seen me driving. It's only when somebody hesitates in front of me.
Well, thank you so much, Barry. It was a pure joy, and best of luck in all your adventures and all your passionate endeavors.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Improving the conversation out there between us, between men and women. So,
okay.
Thank you, my joy.
Take care. All right.
Thank
bye.
You.